I'd like to call to order the Matanuska-Susitna Borough School District School Board meeting. Is there a quorum?
Yes, we have a quorum. All board members are present with Mr. Larson by teleconference.
All right. Mr. Lacey, can you read our board goals for us?
The Matanuska-Susitna Borough School District vision, mission, beliefs, values, goals, and objectives. Our vision, the Matsu Borough School District will be a model of excellence in teaching, learning, and engaging all students. Our mission, the Matsu Borough School District prepares students for success. We believe that all students can and want to learn. Success breeds success. The needs and the best interests of all students drive decisions. The stakeholders, the participation is crucial in the student successes. Our core values are stewardship, accountability, empathy, quality, integrity, efficiency, respect, collaboration, and commitment. We will improve the student's success, achievement, and performance by focusing on college and career readiness. We will increase the graduation rate. Our schools will welcome families and community members in the education of our youth. We will create and maintain a safe and healthy environment for our students and staff. And our annual objectives and accountability are assessed by quarterly metrics and timelines. Madam President.
Thank you, Mr. Lacey. I'm going to ask Lisa Bell, a Wasilla High School senior, to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please. All right, can I have someone move the agenda?
I would like to make a motion to move the agenda, Madam President.
I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded. Since we have Mr. Larson on the phone, we need to take a vote. Mr. Cheesham.
Yes.
Ms. Welton.
Yes.
Mr. Cordero.
Yes.
Ms. Rutherford.
Yes.
Mr. Lacey.
Yes.
Mr. Larson.
Yes.
Okay, so that has been moved and passed. We have now moved on to persons to be heard on non-agenda items. Madam Clerk, will you read the rules for that?
We have specific guidelines for behavior under persons to be heard. First, the speaker states his or her name for the record. Second, the speaker is limited to 3 minutes per meeting. The speaker is limited to non-agenda items. Agenda items will be open for public comment as they appear on the agenda. The speaker's comments should be appropriate for all audiences, including school-age children. The speaker is limited to comments of a general nature, positive or negative, which may not be attributed to any specific individual. Issues involving concerns specific to any individual should be submitted in writing and given to the board clerk to be resolved. The issue may be determined to be appropriate for persons to be heard or may be handled in executive session or may be routed through a more appropriate complaint process. No disturbance or willful interruption of any board meeting shall be permitted. Persistence by an individual or group shall be grounds for the chair to terminate the privilege of addressing the meeting. The board may remove disruptive individuals and order the room cleared if necessary. This is not a question and answer time. Speakers may be referred to the superintendent or designee or take the issue under advisement. And there's a maximum of 1 hour per meeting, and this is our first half an hour. The first person on the list is Lamar Anderson.
My name is Lamar Anderson. I'm just a rural resident who wants to express
accolades and praise for a school presentation that I attended today. As a grandfather, I watched a special musical presentation at Larson Elementary by the fourth and fifth grade music classes. The presentation by probably approximately 104th and 5th graders was The American Dream, a musical celebration of America's early heritage. Mrs. Wendy Brown, the school music director, and the entire Larson School leadership and staff are to be commended. It was a great presentation. It wasn't just 15 minutes of singing songs. It was almost an hour long, but it only seemed like 15 minutes because it was so enjoyable and well done. Even the younger students from the other classes sitting on the floor were spellbound for the entire time. It was a great presentation, not only because of one particular fourth grader that I know, but because all the students did such a remarkable job with the many songs, the spoken parts, and the acting, all in costumes depicting the myriad of American history periods from pre-colonial 19th century, but also because it was truly an uplifting musical highlighting what's great about America and its people, while still recognizing the difficult and not so honorable periods of our history. Too often we hear of schools downplaying what America has stood for through the past centuries and celebrating what's good about our country. Not this program, not Larson Elementary, and thus not the Mat-Su School District. Again, I want to commend Wendy Bowen for her dedication and the obvious extra hours that she must have worked. I also commend Mrs. Hall, the principal, and her entire staff for the extra efforts and work they did to make many proud parents and grandparents today. They are but one example of the quality and dedication of teachers and staff of this school district and what they provide to the youth of this community and this valley. Thank you.
The next person on the list is Teresa. I can't pronounce the last name. You'll have to help me with that.
Therese Tomasoski. I'm a pediatrician in the community and a mother of three in the Mat-Su District. I just came today to talk about the lice policy or the no-knit policy. Recently, one of my patients had been missing multiple days of school.
Ms. Tomasoski? We have that on our agenda.
I'm sorry.
Later that we're going to talk about it, but it is a non-action item. I think it would be okay if you want to talk about it right now because you'd be waiting through an hour.
I know you're going to get a presentation, but basically I want to hear in support of that presentation and revising the no-knit policy to more based on scientific evidence as the American Academy of Pediatrics and the School Nurse Association does not recommend no-knit policies anymore. And I think as the people helping to educate our students, we should be making our policies based on scientific evidence. So, thank you.
Our next speaker, Michelle Overstreet.
Hi, I'm Michelle Overstreet, and I'm representing Mat-Su Youth Housing, or My House. And I wanted to speak to the issue of some of the cuts that are proposed for the district and just some of the numbers, just so that you're aware of what our perspective is on helping homeless youth in the Valley and how important the school district is for not just helping us document and track where the kids are and where they're coming from, but also where they're going from here. We know that in 2010, one out of every eight kids at Covenant House was from the Valley. Today, this year, one out of four. So their numbers have doubled for Valley kids. They had over 5,000 kids go through Covenant House last year. Over 1,000 were from the Valley. We have no shelter in the Valley, so that's where our kids go for shelter. We have very few other services for them, so maybe they're going there to get additional services. My house is committed to trying to enhance the services that are available in the Valley and build on those as the year goes on, the school year goes on. Another statistic that I think is a little bit shocking is that the FBI Special Task Force on Sex Trafficking reports doubled numbers as well. So it's not just doubled numbers of kids going to Anchorage. It's doubled the number of Valley kids that are involved in things that we really don't want them involved in going to Anchorage. So we'd like to keep them here in the Valley. We'd like to keep them safe. One of the ways that we can get funding and support for our programs is to identify those students. And the Mat-Su Borough School District numbers are down this year for identifying homeless students. Last year, something happened that I didn't come and talk about, and I wish that I had, but nursing positions were cut at both alternative schools, at Valley Pathways and Burchell High School. The hours were made up with grant money, so they kind of robbed Peter to pay Paul and keep those people in position. However, there were other issues that impacted the nurses' hours and ability to identify and track homeless youth. So if the Mat-Su school district numbers are down this year, one of the things that we asked was, are we losing kids to Anchorage, which we don't want to do, or are we not identifying kids? The two people that are key contact people in the schools are safety officers and nurses. And so we would like to ask that you fully fund the nursing positions in the alternative schools, because that's the first point of contact for homeless youth, and that's the place where we can get the first idea about where they are, who they are, and what their needs are. I've got about 15 seconds left, and if you haven't seen the newspaper and looked at the article about Dejanae Hale in there, Dejanae was one of these kids, and she came to us at the beginning of the year. She was willing to tell us that she had been homeless for the year before that. She told us what she needed, and she is featured as one of the most inspirational athletes, kids, and we can help them be successful, but we have to know who they are. We have to have the people in place to get FaceTime with them so that they trust and know that we're going to help them, and we do that by staffing the positions that are the most important. So please help us by funding those positions that are the most important for getting homeless youth to us and through school so they can get an education. Thank you.
Is there anyone else? Okay, so nobody else has signed up. Would anybody else like to address the school board at this time? All right, so we will move on to the next item on our agenda. It's administrative reports.
Thank you, Madam President. There will be a report given on the non-action item for BP 5141.22B, which is the head lice exclusion, and we will deliver that at that time. Thank you.
All right, so we're down to borough and city reports. Who would like to go first?
Madam President, Dr. Paramo, board members, my name is Bert Cottle, City of Wasilla. I have five items for you tonight. I'll try and go fast so I don't get gonged out. First is the library update. We have it scheduled to go in front of the voters for our part of the funding on the library. We did not receive the matching grant from Juno this year, which was $8.2 million, so it's not a done deal yet. We'll see how that works out, because we hadn't had it planned in our budget for an additional $8.2 million in funding. Next is SART update, which is a sexual assault response team. We did receive the money in the budget, in the governor's budget. It hasn't been signed yet, and that's largely due to the part of our Valley delegation. I made a presentation along with three other speakers last night in front of the borough assembly requesting $200,000 in their budget. We got good reviews. We're going to be in front of them again tomorrow night over at Station 61 in Wasilla to continue the presentation on requests for funding for SART. And also the City of Wasilla, City of Palmer, City of Houston, and the school district has been very supportive of that and have stated directly and indirectly that they would also help in the funding aspect of that. And we've had two meetings this week to ask for additional funding, so eventually we can start backing who's on the list now out and start bringing in other funding sources. Also, I didn't get a chance because we were kind of late at your last meeting up in Trappers Creek, but for us who don't live on this side of the borough, we appreciate you going to the other areas. I wish more government agencies went out like you do to the different school districts or the different parts of the valley. So I just want to commend you for that. Next, upcoming graduations. We have at least three or four graduations at the Sports Center in Wasilla this year. Just as a reminder, both roads will be open. So there's two entrances, exits out of there. It won't be paved this year, the one by the airport, but it's scheduled to be paved in June. So next year you have two paved entrances and exits. And finally, we have the state wrestling tournament starting in Wasilla at the Sports Center tomorrow at 1:30. We expect between 3,000 and 4,000 wrestlers. So if you have nothing else to do, you can stop by and watch the wrestling tournament. That'll be a hoot. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam President, members of the board, Dr. Paramo, Doug Griffin, City Manager, City of Palmer. First of all, I would just like to commend Bert for the leadership he's shown on this SART project. Well, the City of Palmer has been supportive of that, and I think we did have a unified front speaking about that, but that is an issue that is important to the City of Palmer. But no question, Mr. Cottle's been sort of the leader of that, and I think Bert's done a great job in fighting for that. So I'll give a pat on my back to my friend from Wasilla. I also would like to thank you for the opportunity to see other parts of the borough with your meeting in Trapper Creek. Again, I apologize I was late. That was Bert's fault, too. So I giveth, I taketh away. Anyway, the only other thing is the City of Palmer gave a price break to the organizers of the Grad Blast, so they are using the MTA Event Center for Grad Blast on May, all the evening, I guess, of May 15th and 16th, and so we're great. Now, again, that's in our program to try to use the MTA Event Center for more than just ice and ice sports. So we look forward to hosting that and hoping that's going to be a success this year for the graduating class of 2013 from Palmer High School. And then finally, we did have, speaking of the MTA Event Center, we had a very successful projects fair that we came to talk to you about. And, of course, this year we did involve the school district through a poster contest, a coloring contest, and so on. The mayor is scheduling to go to the schools to award the winners, but the grand prize winner was Lydia Ortiz in Mrs. Williams' fifth grade class at Sherrod. She did a wonderful collage, which involved a lot of work and certainly showed a great artistic flair. Lydia's father had kind of heard the buzz that he just wanted to confirm that his daughter had won. He actually came by City Hall, and so that was kind of cool. But logistics as they are, the grand prize, of course, there's a gift basket, but Lydia's going to get a chance to be driven to school in a fire truck. So we'll work on that coordination for that. Second prize winners were Haley DeRowan and Kai Castar of Mrs. Wilson's Sherrod third grade class, and Samuel Anderson of Academy Charter fifth grade in Ms. Holler's class. So there were some third prize winners and some honorable mentions, but I thought I would just limit you to the grand prize winner and the three second prizes that won the contest. But it was a great way to bring the school district into our event that we hope to grow every year, get some parents out to look at their children's artwork. And sort of what Lamar was talking about, that's probably a good way to get more people to come. So it's a good symbiotic relationship there with the school district. So we appreciate the cooperation we got from the principals and the teachers from all of the Palmer area schools. So thank you very much.
All right, we've down to superintendent and student advisory board representative. So Ms. Kendra McPhail, this is your last report for the school board. So go ahead and take it away.
We had our final meeting here at the district office on the 24th. We are very pleased to be hosted by the school district. During our meeting, Dr. Promo, Ms. Stone, Ms. Steele, Mr. Stevenson, and Ms. Esri all met with us. As a body, we identified some of our priorities for next year and next year's board. We met with Ms. Steele and Mr. Stevenson about our ATM proposal, and they gave us direction of needed information. We're following up and scheduling meetings with local marketing managers, and we'll have our proposal to admin shortly. I wanted to take the moment to introduce our new student representative that will take my place next year, Carly Williams, as she is also the State Board of Education and Early Development Student Rep for the Alaska Association of Student Governments. Finally, on a personal note, I just would like to take the time to thank the board as a whole for the guidance they have instilled in me. I've learned over the last few years the bends of Parley Pro. As I take off on my new chapter in higher education, I'm looking forward to continuing my journey. I'm proud to be a MATSU.
Thank you, Kendra. Dr. Paramo.
Thank you, Madam President.
We will provide, with Luke's help, a budget and bond update, but prior to that, I would like Mrs. Williams of that fifth grade Sherry class to also stand up. She has a famous daughter who's going to be with us, but this is the teacher with whom the Palmer manager mentioned. So congratulations for your students winning that as well. I would like to let you know that we are having actually 8 graduations at the Menard Center. We coordinate those all week long with district-wide chairs and sponsorship and assistance, and we have 2 a day, one at 1 o'clock and then another one at 7. And it really has helped out with the cost of graduations and the setup and assist schools. So we're quite thankful for the city of Wasilla to work with us on that. And just want to mention, years ago there was a partnership in which Matsuburo helped support, the school district helped support a new sound system that would be effective and efficient for graduations and other performances. And since then we've had a break on the rental. So we certainly appreciate that. And it's just been a great partnership with that the city of Wasilla. Coming up, as you know, your schedules are probably booked, but I just want to mention a few things happening around your school district. Many of them include just successes of kids. Tomorrow is the ribbon cutting ceremony at the Alaska Middle College, the first middle college in the state of Alaska, and it's happening at 10 o'clock at the school in Eagle River. Also tomorrow morning, Colony High School is receiving and unveiling their Grammy Signature Schools Enterprise Award. They were awarded $5,500, but they actually have a Grammy that they need to build a new case for because it's so large. Tomorrow evening as well is the BP Teachers of Excellence. We have 6 BP Teachers of the Year, or 6 BP Teachers of our district, and then one of those will be spoken about tomorrow as the BP teacher for Matsu. Also on Friday, Champions for Children. This is an event sponsored by MSEA. Champions for Children is an event that honors our volunteers in the classrooms, and that is happening, I believe, on Friday at Evangelos. May 9th, Colony Middle School is releasing With These Hands and Hearts. Colony Middle School publishes a book every year, and so we're excited about that. And additionally, on May 9th, I would like you to know that the Rose Bowl president will be here to meet with Colony High School and observe their last concert of the year. As you know, they did win a bid to go to Pasadena for the Rose Bowl and play next year. And in the world of music, this is the highest accomplishment that you can get for a marching band. And so for having the one and only marching band in the state, but also reaching the levels of every other state to be invited and have enough skill and talent to be able to perform in front of others, they don't just give it to you because you're the only one in the state. They've been practicing and working hard to get this, so we want to congratulate them as well. And we do have a couple of students that we just heard word that will... from Wasilla High School, they're participating in the West Point Bridge Competition, and that is May 2nd and 3rd. They're going to fly out, and they were they won the state of Alaska and the West Coast, and now they're competing at West Point for this special event. And so these are just a few of the things that the kids and teachers and folks do around the valley that make us proud, that I wanted to be sure to mention, because it is a pretty special time. I know we're probably booked almost every evening, but it's the school year is winding down. Many graduations are starting within 2 weeks, and it's just going to be a time to celebrate our students and our staff for doing such a great job. Additionally, I'm passing out a resolution that was, sorry, I gave you the one instead of the pile, a resolution that Mr. Keough, Assemblymember Keough, wanted to be sure that the board had seen. This is a resolution that the borough is making to the state, and it's a courtesy to us to see it. It is something that we had supported and had provided the mayor information in the past. Basically, it is a resolution to bring back a state program with which the state would reimburse municipalities and boroughs who use their own funds, operational funds, or other funds to build, either do major maintenance or build new schools without having to bond. As you know, the state has a 60-40 reimbursement or a 70-30. Of course, the buildings that, or the major maintenance that the borough and the district work to fix and do, you know, if you will, they would have to pass EED standards, the Department of Education and Early Development standards. So you'd still have to go through the same process. But currently, the only provision is for bonded reimbursement. This is a provision that would allow that if you paid for cash as well, that you could get reimbursement. This benefits large places like MATSU, and I believe the legislature was actually working on this year for school districts as well. It benefits us in that if we have a roof that is leaking that may be a $400,000 fix or a $500,000 fix, generally what happens is we're so large of a place that we wait a while to gather up enough projects to be able to go to bond, and by that time, the leaky roof has turned into a more of a major problem and more costly. And so this would allow a provision where major maintenance could be accomplished quicker and sooner and still be given those reimbursements that the state allows. It's also notable that large districts such as ourselves, municipalities and boroughs, rarely score high on the state's capital improvement projects, and I think rightly so. Probably we have local contributions and local shares in the REAAs. Many times those smaller schools aren't in as good a shape as other schools, and so they're taken care of first. And so this would be an availability for larger school districts and boroughs to be able to do those capital improvements without actually making that list, because it is rare that, the only time we made the list is when a school actually burned down. So it would assist us. It's something that the borough would like to do as well. And because we don't have a meeting on the 15th, this isn't something that necessarily we need to vote on, but if the board so chooses, perhaps the president would just give a positive remark that we can share with the borough, or a letter that we, if you'd like, we can write one up in support to share that as well. And I just wanted to provide that to you. We can provide feedback later, but it's pretty cut and dry. It would actually assist the borough and the taxpayers, certainly saving for a large high school that could possibly be upwards of $80 million would be a long time. But for the major maintenance, it certainly is a benefit for us. And without further ado, we did put together a short presentation. Not much has changed. As Mr. Cottle from the City of Wasilla mentioned, that the borough is still in talks in regard to their budget, and there is a public hearing tomorrow as well. We have not received a number. We're looking for a number, and a 3% is what we want to hear in local support. So we currently still remain at the 8 positions down, and with the 3% in there, 8 would all we have. But without further ado, Mr. Luke Fulp. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Promo. This is just a real brief, as Dr. Promo mentioned, a real brief budget update. We really just want to, for the listening audience and the public at large, provide the dates for the borough's budget hearings and deliberations. We have one more budget hearing, which will occur tomorrow evening, May 2nd, and the following deliberations are scheduled for 6th, 9th, 14th, and 16th. It says within this slide that the Assembly could adopt the budget at any date within the scheduled deliberations, and I believe as these meetings are advertised, they mention budget deliberation and possible adoption. So that is for the listening audience and the public at large, but just a reminder on the dates for these hearings and meetings. For the bond project updates, we did want to provide some critical dates as the construction season is upon us, and many of the larger projects within the bond, overall bond projects, have come about and will be worked on this summer. For the athletic complexes, we have an update that the bids closed on April 23rd. The borough is expecting the Assembly to approve the contract for the lowest bidder on May 7th. The projects, the good news is that the bid came in and basically funded or covered all but two additional alternatives. Those were paving at Palmer High School as well as sod for their practice field. So at this point, those two additional alternatives are not within the scope, but potentially as we move through the process, money could be freed up within the construction budget line item or the contingency and possibly cover some of these, but those were two that were not included. And work could begin as soon as May 10th, so that's encouraging to know that they'll get started right away. For Valley Pathways, the bid 13-100C was issued April 25th. They have a pre-bid conference on May 9th, and then bids are due back sealed May 22nd. And then the borough is hopeful that the borough assembly will pass that or approve the contract on June 4th. And then it's pretty much the same timeline for Matsu Day School. We're looking for the June 4th assembly meeting. Roof replacements. We have three roof replacements that we've petitioned to the Department of Education and Early Development to have those design build, so an alternative project delivery method as opposed to the design bid build traditional method. Those were approved by the department and as such went out a bid on the street April 19th. The solicitation period or the advertising period was also shortened. There's a 21-day requirement. I believe this one got in at 18 days. So the pre-bid is occurred on April 23rd, and then bids are due back on May 7th. They're hopeful that the assembly will approve this and award the contract on the 21st, and then work to begin in June. Yes.
Through the president, I visited a Big Lake Elementary, and is the repair for the roof, is that also going to include the damage that's been done by the water collecting on the gym floor? Because all the tiles are curled up, and that's terribly, I think, unsafe.
Through the chair, the actual roof and the remodeling at Big Lake are coming from two separate pots of money. One is the most recent bond passage of the $214 million bond, and that will renovate the gym. Actually, we have almost quite a few elementary gyms being resurfaced on the floor. These roof replacements, remember, is the work that Mr. Fulp did with the borough in assessing and accessing, rather, the $8 million that was left over from about a bond many years ago. Just to let you know, we have sectioned off parts of the gym. We're making it as safe as possible. And they are going outside now for other things. So we can assure folks that we're not going to have children injured, as safety was mentioned. But not just this in this bond, the most recent bond, I believe we have about six gym floor resurfacing going on. And it is the softer material. Our gyms that had the former tile floors are all being replaced. So that will happen. Thank you.
Yes. And just to add on to that point, these roof replacements, the scope of work is simply the roof. So with another funding source, that will be covered. And so they're hopeful, fast-tracking this, hopeful that the assembly will approve the contracts, the design build contracts, May 21st, with work to begin in June. And then lastly, the Connect Junior Senior High, we've begun early meetings. The site master plan meeting will occur May 6th. The main purpose of this meeting and really the plat of land, the lot here is outlined in the diagram. There's about 20 acres of wetlands within the total 103 acres. Of course, we do the master plan is going to incorporate potentially housing two facilities on this site. For a middle and high school breakout similar to the Houston Middle High School campus. And so they're just trying to coordinate where the fields will be located, where the facilities will be located, entrance, exits, as well as parking areas, and taking into account the wetlands. And then the ed specs for the facility, the hope is to have these completed before a school, school's out for the summer. And that's our bond project update, and we've got a question.
Member Cheatham?
Thank you, through the chair. What about the Palmer High School plumbing? Is that on the list? Is that...
Through the president, yes, Ms. Member Cheesham, this wasn't a comprehensive list of all the work that will be done this summer, and there's going to be two phases for the Palmer High School mechanical update renovation. The first phase will cover two summers, this summer and next summer, will be the first phase of that work.
Okay. So there's time, even though that's not been bid out, there's still time to do that?
No, that's got its own timeline. I believe they already have a contractor lined up. That work's going to begin as soon as school's out.
Member Larson?
Yeah, it's a budgetary question. Going to the borough, the school district last school meeting passed a resolution about the end of the year money going from 50% to possibly 25%. Was that addressed at all by the borough and their budgetary issues?
Dr. Prama?
Through the chair, at this time, Mr. Larson, it has not. They are conducting just budget hearings, not voting on any items outside of that particular their actual, the borough budget. However, we did receive word, a personal email back from the mayor that says he is working on his end and he sees that folks are looking at that positively. But that will come up probably later in June.
One further question, if I may, on that subject. Will it be addressed prior to us having to give 50% of the end of the year money back?
Through the president, that is our plan, and that is certainly the mayor's plan. It's just we just work with two government bodies, ours and theirs, and that is the plan, but I can't speak for the borough.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any other questions or comments? All right. Go ahead.
Thanks. That was my presentation. Thank you.
All right. Can I have someone move the consent agenda, please?
I would like to move the consent agenda, the meetings of the minutes of the April 17th meeting.
I'll second that.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. We need to call for a vote. Member Lacey, I'm sorry. Member Rutherford?
Yes.
Member Cordero?
Yes.
Member Welton?
Yes.
Member Cheesham?
Yes.
Member Larson?
Yes.
And I too vote yes, so that consent agenda has passed. I'd like to take a 10-minute break, so we're on break. Mr. Larson, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay, thank you. All right, so we're moving on to action items. Can I have someone move the first action item?
I would like to move 13-080, second reading, board policy 6181-4, Matsu Central School principal hiring process.
I'll second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Do we have an administrative report?
Yes, Madam President. I just wanted to reference this. Last time there was a comment made that of the detail in it that the superintendent can hire who she wants, and the exact changes in this is really in regard to the evaluation of the principal. They'll agree on those by February 1st, the year before, and that the school board members who sit on the AAC will not be on the hiring committee. Generally, in our district, we have hiring committees in schools and people apply to them, but it's de facto in Matsu Central School that the AAC, which is the Academic Advisory Council, will automatically be the team that hires the principal to forward two names to the superintendent. It's just that the school board member through this work, and our school board member is on there, has removed that portion because then the school board member has an opportunity at this place. And so I think that was a request and to align with the rest of the school district, and I believe that the school board member determined to just remove that portion that sitting on that team, because they certainly have the overall of approving the staff for the school district in the end. And those were the major changes. And I observed the group work through a lot of their board policies, and this is quite a thinking and discussion in a pretty diverse group. So it's a pretty, I think I would say, the pretty solid group there in making that determination. So they were all behind it, yeah. So thank you.
Is there anyone from the public who would like to speak on this issue? All right, seeing none, we're down to discussion of this item. Does anybody have any discussion on this item? Any comments? All right, so we'll move right on to voting. Member Larson.
Yes.
Member Cheesham.
Yes.
Member Welton.
Yes.
Member Cordero.
Yes.
Member Rutherford.
Yes.
Member Lacey.
Yes.
I too vote yes. This passes.
I would like to move 13-087, reemployment of non-tenured teachers.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there any report?
Yes, Madam President, I would just like to mention that what might be going through some of our minds is if we haven't had confirmation of the borough's contribution, the local contribution to our budget, how could we be sure that all teachers that we had would come back to us? And these are especially non-tenured teachers. All tenured teachers have been provided contracts, and we voted on that at the end of February. However, we do have the knowledge of the attrition in the district is upwards of 40 people that are retiring and or leaving due to families moving. And so we know that even if we didn't receive the 3%, at least we may lose FTE in the district, but at least all the non-tenured folks that we have that are good standing that would like to come back to us, that we can certainly offer them contracts now. So we won't be in any jeopardy financially by offering these contracts, and this assists our teachers who are teaching every day in the classroom not to have to worry about that now that we are sure. Once we received information from the state, which is about 75% of the total district's funds, we were able to make this decision.
All right. Is there any member of the public who would like to speak on this issue? All right. Seeing none, it's time for discussion. Does anybody have comments or questions on this item? No comments or questions. All right. So, Member Lacey.
Yes.
Member Rutherford.
Yes.
Member Cordero.
Yes.
Member Welton.
Yes.
Member Cheesham.
Yes.
And Member Larson.
Yes.
I too vote yes, so this also passes unanimously.
I would like to move 13-088, Shaw Elementary School Principal.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. Administrative report.
Madam President, I would just like to announce that David Russell, the current principal of Palmer Junior Middle School, did apply for that job and was one of the last two candidates and was selected. And coming up next, this week actually, it will be Palmer Junior Middle School principal hiring process. Thank you.
Is there any member of the public who would like to comment on this? All right, any discussion from the board? All right, we will go ahead and vote. Member Cordero.
Yes.
Member Rutherford.
Yes.
Member Larson.
Yes.
Member Lacey.
Yes.
Member Welton.
Yes.
Member Cheesham.
Yes.
And I too vote yes. This one also passes unanimously.
I would like to move 13-089, Houston Middle School Assistant Principal.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Do we have an administrative report?
Madam President, I would just like to announce that Benjamin Howard would be new to the district. He did apply at the job fair, along with, I think there was probably over 20 candidates, and he will be moved into a, receive the job as the assistant principal upon approval, and he does have experience in schools, special experience with working with children with poverty, federal programs, in special education, and so he'll bring a wealth of knowledge to that part of the Valley and that school, Houston Middle School. Thank you.
Do we have any public comment? Any comment from the board? All right, we'll move on to vote. Member Rutherford?
Yes.
Member Lacey?
Yes.
Member Larson?
Yes.
Member Cheesham?
Yes.
Member Welton?
Yes.
And Member Cordero?
Yes.
I too vote yes. This one passes also. We're now moving down to non-action items. We have an administrative report on the first reading for head lice exclusion.
Thank you, Madam President. I'd like to have our nursing coordinator, Ms. Krista Grillo. I have problems with this. Is that a French name? Sorry. Yes. So please come forward. And Krista has worked with our local health providers as well as our nurses within our schools on this policy. And she will say a few words, but she is our resident expert. We appreciate her so much on everything from our policy with this. She worked just with our immunizations and things. So she does wonderful work. Thank you.
I do have a little presentation to go on here.
Madam President, I have that presentation too, by the way.
I'm sorry, Mr. Larson?
I do have that presentation. I appreciate it being sent to me.
Okay, thank you.
I'm here to speak to the change recommended for our no-nit lice policy that we have in schools. This is... not recommended to have no-nit policies by the CDC, the American Academy of Pediatrics, and the National Association of School Nurses. This recommendation to not have no-nit policies from the CDC was done in 2010, and just for further knowledge, too, the Kenai Borough School District and Anchorage School Districts have already changed their policies to kids excluded only for live lice and not just for nits. The research shows head lice has not been shown to spread disease. That's why the public health department no longer deals with any problems with head lice, because it's not anything that causes disease and it's not a health risk in the community. Personal hygiene or cleanliness has nothing to do with getting head lice. So our schools being dirty or whatever, that doesn't mean that we have lice in our schools. And it doesn't mean so in the home. In fact, head lice like clean heads. Dirty heads they can't attach to very well. So that has nothing to do with the issue. Nits are cemented to the hair shafts and unlikely to be transmitted to anybody. So allowing kids not to come to school because they have nits is not going to pass anything, because those nits can't come off that hair. And if you've ever pulled one, you really have to grab a hold of it to get it off. Head lice are transmitted by direct head-to-head contact, and usually when we get a case of head lice in the schools, if we ask the child, have you had a sleepover lately, that's generally where they got it, and we check the rest of the heads of the people that were in that sleepover, and some of them have it as well. And that's generally where it comes from, is direct head-to-head contact. Nits are not indicative of an active infestation. If a student comes to school and they have nits in their hair and we don't see any live lice, they could have been infested a month ago and nobody ever knew about it. But they've already gotten rid of the live lice and the nits are dead. Anytime a nit is more than a quarter of an inch off of the head, it's not a viable nit, because it has to live really close to the head, and so it's not viable at that point. So keeping kids out for just nits is not good science. statements from the experts. CDC, no NIT policy should be discontinued. No healthy child should be excluded from our allowed to miss school times because of head lice. And that's from the American Academy of Pediatrics. No NIT policies are based on misinformation, not objective science. And that's from the National Association of School Nurses. There's the online resources that people can go to have to look at, the studies that have done, the research that's been done. Head lice is a visceral topic, and a lot of times we have people who are very vocal about not wanting head lice in their schools, but their comments are based on emotion, and the fact that when you say head lice, your head starts to itch, and not on science and how head lice are actually transmitted. And we have students that have missed months of school because of head lice exclusion policy that we have, because they're not getting rid of the nits. It's not that we're finding live lice on them. It's because the nits are still in the hair, and they are cemented on there. And if you don't pull out everyone individually, you're not going to get them out. So, but we would like to propose to move our policy to what you had in front of you that was given by Lucy Hope to read, and I don't know if you want me to read it or if you have it in front of you, that upon notification of suspected cases of head lice, the school nurse or designee will examine the student. The student will remain in his or her classroom for the remainder of the day. If live lice are found in the hair, the parent will be notified to use over-the-counter treatments via phone, email, or a note sent home with the student. The next day, the student will be re-examined. And the student may remain in school if there is no presence of live lice. If there are nits present, the student may remain in school. Presence of nits does not indicate active infestation. Head lice can be a nuisance, but they have not been shown to spread disease. Personal hygiene or cleanliness in the home or school has nothing to do with getting head lice. In case that involves head lice, is in all school health issues, the student's privacy will be protected. And I'm available if you have any questions.
Member Rutherford?
Just a little thing on the second paragraph. I was just wondering if it shouldn't say the next day the school nurse or a designee again. An examination of the student will take place by the school nurse or a designee. It may not really matter, but in the old one we said it was
right.
The nurse or designee who cleared, you know, who finds it and who clears them, and in the new one we don't say who gets to clear them.
Okay, we can adjust that to say that. Yes.
All right. Any other comments?
Yes, I have a couple questions.
Yes, Member Larson.
Okay, just for the audience's sake, could you define what a nit versus a head lice is, please?
A nit is a egg, if you will. The live louse, which is the adult louse, lays the egg on the hair shaft, and it's cemented there with a substance that keeps the egg close to the head and the scalp until they hatch in about 8 to 10 days. That's what a nit is. But when the nit hatches, or when it hatches, the nit stays on the empty casing stays on the hair shaft. It's very difficult to tell whether the casing is an actual nit, a live nit or a viable nit, or if it's just the empty casing.
You said that it's head-to-head transfer for lice to go. The question that was asked me by, since this policy was coming up, by grade school teachers, was can lice be transferred between, for instance, stocking caps when they go out for recess, that kind of thing, if one kid has lice and the other kid puts that child's stocking cap on?
That is possible, but it's not very likely. That is a secondary thing. The head lice actually like to stay close to the scalp. They don't like to get on the far reaches of the hair. if they are falling off the head, they are at, it's an adult louse that is past its prime and dying. So they wouldn't be viable to lay eggs anyway at that point. That is possibly a way, but it's not. It would be a secondary infestation. It wouldn't be usual. And there are things, there are ways that we can do in the classrooms, you know, have the kids put their hats in their sleeves. That's what a lot of schools do, so that they keep from doing that. And there's other ways that we can do it, just by making sure kids don't share things. That is always a way that you could possibly get it, like if you share combs, if you share hair products, or, you know, the brushes, or they have the hair bands that the kids like to share. Just encouraging an education of how they can get head lice would be the way that we would control that.
Well, then, is there an education program or a policy, for instance, like you're talking about, because I've been in elementary schools seeing the kids' coats, and, you know, they got coats, and then they got snow pants and gloves and hats, and they're all crammed together on pegs, you know. Is there a policy, or can the nursing association or have a policy on such things as you're talking about, preventive for head lice, you know, to kind of help ensure that head lice doesn't spread through this kind of thing?
Well, what I would do is, because a lot of our staff are the ones that are, their heads start itching when you say head lice, is develop a training program that I would have all the nurses do at the beginning of next year if this policy is changed, that they would give to all of their staff, and then possibly do it on a parent night, that they could present it to the families as well as ways to keep from getting head lice. But educating them how they should keep the things in their classrooms, and also how they can educate the students about not using and sharing personal products like that.
Okay,
and there are very there
or through the superintendent, what I would suggest is that this kind of orientation or presentation would be in policy, so that it could be addressed from year to year instead of just maybe this year. I don't know if that's a possibility or if that's a viable
Through the president, Member Larson, this really does regularly occur, and what we would probably recommend is through administrative regulations do this rather than policy. Stick with the policy about having kids in and out and what the nurses do, and then we can create administrative regulation that we can revisit all the time. But the idea from the nurses is, you know, education with kids, and really this isn't any big surprise. Kids know not to do that. We do have lots of kids in all of our classrooms. You know, it's not like we can design a place where their coats wouldn't touch, because we have, and especially in our little, you know, little kids, there's over 20 little kids, sometimes up to 28, and the snow pants are big. But the evidence demonstrates that is, I believe when I read it, about 8% of any 8% of the 30% that get it this way actually get lice. So that would be 8 times 30%, whatever that number is. That's a pretty slim chance of that occurring if in the research, that it really is by other ways. But to your answer to your question, I believe that we will create and move forward, depending on the vote on this, with administrative regulation as part of our training for both teachers as well as students. But it's rare that a teacher doesn't remind kids. They're quite aware of that. Thank you.
Okay. Just one follow-up. And the reason I just stated this is because the presentation in the literature often says and talks about the minute head lice is in a classroom, the teacher starts scratching, and usually it's the teacher that brings up the issue. So there's got to be a reason to educate each teacher each year to remind them that you know, that they're not going to get lice. I can understand their worry, you know, but it's usually the teacher that brings it up. So, you know, the more education or the more it's up front, the less issue we'll have in the future is all I'm thinking about. Thank you.
That's a good point, Mr. Larson. I was wondering, how many cases of lice do we have? I mean, you said earlier that some kids miss quite a bit of school because of lice. How common is it?
We have head lice in every school every year. The number of cases varies. Generally, though, it's located in families and close friends of those families who do sleepovers or weekend here, weekend there type of deal. But age school has several cases a year. I had last year 31 cases in my school, all from a sleepover. Some of them were repeats because they would do the treatment inaccurately. And that would be it, too. When we would call a parent to have them do one of these products, we would have to do some education on how to do the product correctly. Because if you don't do it correctly, they're just going to come right back. And most of the reinfestations are self-reinfestations because they never really got rid of it in the first place. But there is always a case of lice somewhere. When I asked the schools, one time I sent out an email and said, how many have lice in their schools right now? And 7 said, I have it in it right now, but I've had cases earlier in the year. So chances are each school has a case. Not as much in the high school and the middle school areas. Mainly it's in the elementary schools. But there again, sleepovers more occur in the elementary level than they do the higher levels.
Member Rutherford.
I just wanted to make clear, I guess, for the listening audience that the policy is very clear that live lice, they still won't be allowed in school. And
that
that's what, and that's what, and that's where it can be passed on is when there's live lice. And from what I've heard, having school nurse in the family, is the no-nip problem with the no-nip policy is they're no longer able to transfer lice, and the nits are very, very difficult to get off, and parents just don't want to do it. That's what I've been told. They just don't. It's difficult. It's tedious. They don't want to keep doing it, and so these kids are needlessly missing school because you can't do it yourself. And if there's nobody home who will do it, unless the nurse wants to give up a whole bunch of time to do it for them, then they are needlessly missing school. So I think it's a really good change.
All right. If there's no more discussion, thank you for your presentation. This goes on as an action item at our next board meeting. We're down to future items, future business. We have a meeting on June 5th for special recognitions at 5 o'clock, and that's one of my favorite board meetings. 5 o'clock special recognitions, and then at 6 we have our regular school board meeting. We will not have a school board meeting in 2 weeks because that is right in the middle of graduation. I think most board members are going to upwards of 6 graduations each. So we will have a really busy graduation week, and the week after that is 8th grade promotions. So we're going to have a busy time. So June 5th is our next regular school board meeting. June 19th is also scheduled for a school board meeting. We have in the past canceled that June 19th meeting, dependent on how far we have gotten on our budget and if we know what we're getting back from the borough. So that meeting may be canceled. We have a schedule in front of us, or a calendar in front of us. It is May, June, and July. Would like to calendar time for our retreat, our board retreat. There are 7 of us with families and different plans for May, June, and July, so we may not be able to find a time where everybody can be there. What I think we will do is plan a time when the most
members can be available. It was suggested that we look at a Friday evening and a Saturday. That would allow people not to miss work. So the first Friday and Friday evening and Saturday coming up on the agenda after graduation and promotions would be Friday, May 31st and the day of Saturday, June 1st. Who would be available on that time?
Is that Memorial Day weekend?
No, that's the weekend after Memorial Day. Memorial Day is the 27th.
I don't think so.
I'm sorry, you think so?
Yeah, I'm sorry. That Memorial Day observed is the 27th. All right. I was just looking at my calendar.
Okay.
Sorry. Regular Memorial Day is the 30th. I apologize.
All right. So, Member Lacey, I know you'll already be gone out of town. Okay. Member Rutherford, would you be able to do that?
Yes.
Okay. Member Cordero?
Yes.
Okay. How do you feel about that, Member Wilton?
I don't have a problem with it, but last year we met on a Monday and Tuesday night from 6 to 9 if the weekends aren't available. Is that something that we won't consider?
Let's see how many people we have available for the weekends, I think, just to start with that, Mr. Larson, if we could. Member Cheesham?
Yes, I'm much... I like... Daytime meetings are much better for these long discussions, yeah.
Okay. And Member Larson, I didn't hear if you'd be available that time.
I'd be possibly available, but like everybody else, weekends are pretty booked for me, but I don't have anything on my calendar as yet.
Okay. The next weekend after that would be Friday, June 7th, and Saturday, the 8th. How are we looking on that? Mr. Larson?
Yes.
You would be available for that one?
Yes. Yes, I would.
Okay. All right. Member Rutherford, what about that one?
I'm available. It is Colony Days in Palmer, so there's a lot going on that Saturday.
Oh.
A lot of fun stuff, but I could be made available.
Okay. Member Lacey, what about that one?
Yes, I could do that one.
Okay, Member Cordero?
Yes, Saturday until 5.
June 7th?
But otherwise it works.
Okay. Member Wilton?
I'm not scheduled for anything that time, so it works for me.
Okay, Member Cheesham?
Well, it's not my first choice because of Colony Days, but I think I can have the shop covered if
okay.
we need to.
What if we do it on that day and then get out to go to the parade and then re-adjourn? Would that be okay? I think we can all come on that day. That would be wonderful. Okay, so we're setting our meeting for the evening of Friday the 7th and Saturday the 8th with a break for the Colony Days Parade. I'm sorry. I was thinking the evening during the 7th. Is everybody available during the day also on the 7th instead? Make it a Friday and Saturday meeting? Friday, Saturday day?
I'm going to miss part of the Friday because I'll be on an airplane coming home.
Oh, okay. So maybe if we just leave it in the evening, we could have everybody?
I think so.
Okay. Sarah? Okay. We can start really early on Saturday for your brain working if you want. Okay. I was considering Friday starting at 6, and then on Saturday we don't want to start too early, even though Sarah's up and going on Saturday. Is 8:30 okay for everyone on Saturday? Okay, 8:30. And that's when we'll get started. So, all right. That was easier than I thought it would be. Thank you. All right, so those are our future items, future business. Everybody has their list of the graduations they're going to. If you have questions about it, you can contact our secretary, and she can get you a new list. Member Wilton.
Our policy committee had problems meeting this last week, and so we're looking for another time to meet. And I'd like to get it done before the end of June. And Mr. Lacey, you will be gone the first week. So I'm looking at... If I can ask Mr. Stone, are you available the second week of June?
Yes.
Okay, so Tuesday, June 11th, would that work? Mr. Lacey?
I'll be back in Washington during that time.
Okay. So do you have any days, you have nothing that week of June?
Of May and the first 7 days of June.
Talking about Tuesday the 11th.
I'll be gone then too, yes.
Okay. Tuesday the 18th.
That's fine. And also, if we could have a standardized place to have the meeting. Last time I was at Mat-Su Central, where we normally have the meeting, only to find out that it was over here, and by the time I got here, there was nobody to have a meeting with.
It was changed in the meeting because we were supposed to have another meeting that night, and it would be easier for everybody to go on to that meeting here. That was spoken about twice. So, okay, Mr. Stone, are you available on the 18th of June? Okay, thank you. What time? 4 o'clock?
I don't care, but I'll make sure, as my wife points out, I'm listening correctly this time.
Okay. Okay. 4 o'clock? On the 18th. Let's have it here in the off room there, the side room. Okay? Thank you.
All right. We also have a joint borough and school board committee meeting. That would be what the first.
This Monday.
This Monday. So we have one this Monday, and then the next one would be June 3rd. So just to remind people if they're interested in that. All right. Any other future items? Future business? Okay, so we are down to persons to be heard on non-agenda items. This is the second time. This is the second chance for this meeting. We already have read all of the rules, and so I don't think we need to go over that. But if you would like to come forward to be heard by the school board.
And I'm a pediatrician and a medical something or other for the school board. And I just wanted to support the change in the policy, the no-net policy, to an inclusion.
Thank you. I'm sorry. I must have missed you when we were on that agenda item. Sorry. Thanks for coming. Anyone else would like to speak before the board? All right. Seeing no one. We're moving on to correspondence and board committee reports. Has there been any correspondence or board committee reports? Okay. I don't see any, so we'll move on. We're down to comments from school board and administration. Dr. Paramo.
Thank you, Madam President. I did want to make one announcement that your school district, Mat-Su Borough School District, was invited to testify in a congressional hearing in Washington, D.C., which will take place next Wednesday in regard to school safety and our positive behavioral interventions and support program. We shared the Safe and Civil Schools, its programs like Start on Time, CHAMPS in the elementary school, and that was brought to us by the high school data and elementary data last year being sent to the state. They noticed something. We spoke about it at the RTI conference, and this invite became possible, and I'm getting calls from really all over the country about this, so it's quite exciting, and I'm going to hopefully go down there and represent our board and our teachers and staff and students well, and see what comes of this. I've never had the opportunity to do a congressional hearing, but our school district and one in Texas were selected, and we do that next Wednesday. Thank you.
All right. Kendra, this is your last chance for comments.
No comments.
Kendra. I have a little presentation for Kendra from our board. So,
Kendra has been with us for a whole year, hasn't missed a meeting, maybe one meeting. This is the second time she's come for a whole year to school board meetings and been our student rep. So, you're going to college next year. We got you a little gift that will be thank good you. At college in a card. And we wanted to say thank you so much for being our student rep. You did a wonderful job.
Thank you.
All right. So, Mr. Lacey, do you have any comments?
No.
Member Rutherford.
Just that I attended the Teeland Diversity Celebration as well as the Palmer High School choir and band concerts. Thoroughly enjoyed both, and am looking forward to all the school visits this month for graduations.
Member Cordero.
Thank you, Madam President. I'm going to a lot of graduations and promotions, and tomorrow Academy Charter is having a presentation on the world, and I think they turn every classroom into a different country, if I'm not mistaken. I had an opportunity to attend a symposium in Anchorage for great teachers, and there were presenters from Finland and Singapore. They're in the top five countries with some of the best public school systems, and the presentations were really great. There was also some research from the lower 48 on standards. I plan on writing a summary of what happened, and I will be very happy to share it with my fellow board members and Dr. Paramo if you're interested. So it was really fascinating to learn how other countries address those issues. So,
thank you. Member Welton.
I managed to visit six schools in one day last week, and starting out with Meadow Lakes, going on to Big Lake, then to Goose Bay, Kinnick, Snowshoe, and Pioneer Peak. I also was at the diversity gathering and the concert at PHF. I did have some nurses come up to me from Anchorage while I was dining in a restaurant, and they told me about the wonderful, fantastic conference that our school district put on for the nurses. They just went on and on about how wonderful a job we did and all the variety of things that they learned about. So kudos for us there. When I was at Big Lake Elementary School, they had the author, Mike Thaler, and he did a presentation. He wrote the stories of the teacher from the Black Lagoon and other stories. He did a demonstration of how to make riddles, and it's fascinating how he taught the students to make riddles, and it's a very, of course, verbal concept, so there was a lot of learning going on that had to do with your language arts, and just incredible stuff, and it was fun and exciting to see students learning. And in all of our schools where I visited, I saw students learning and teachers who were remarkable in bringing forth the kid that sits off by themselves or making sure that everyone got the concept. It was really good. And I always enjoy visiting the schools and looking at the artwork and looking at the little stories that they write and they hang in the hallways. And if if the public doesn't get a chance to do that, they, you know, find a time when you can go visit the schools, PTA meetings, things like this, so that you can see the learning that's going on. It's just fantastic. I always get renewed by that. Sorry to have taken so long. I want to thank everybody for my birthday cake and the card and all of that. I usually don't get that kind of acknowledgement, but I appreciate that. Thank you.
Member Teasum.
Oh, no, thank you very much. I don't have any comment at this point.
Thank you. Member Larson.
Yes, this is to the superintendent. On your presentation in a week from Wednesday, that's congressional hearings like that are usually taped, aren't they? Is there a possibility that we could get a copy of that to see that presentation from start to beginning? Not only yours, but the whole issue that they're going to be talking about?
Through the chair to Member Larson. I'll let you know if it's taped depending on how it turns out. Actually, Member Larson, yes, they are taped, and we will certainly request a copy. Thank you.
Okay. Congratulations, Kendra, to a wonderful year on the board. And I just want everybody to know that I'm in Denver, Colorado, and I feel like I'm home because it's been snowing here since this morning, and it's still snowing. So it's like being in Alaska in May.
Thank you, Member Larson. I did attend the symphony presentation at Colony High School. Colony High School Symphony combined with Colony Middle School Symphony and Shaw Elementary School. Our own superintendent emceed. It was a great night of music. The children were wonderful. It was great. I want to remind people we do have the wrestling tournament this weekend. It's bringing a lot of people into our valley to spend some money and contribute. Also, there is Houston High School's baseball tournament. It's all weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. They got the fields cleared and ready to play. So if anybody wants to go see some good baseball, it'll be out at Houston High School this weekend. I think that is it for comments. We are moving into an executive session. Matters of the immediate knowledge of which would clearly have an adverse effect on the finances of the government unit. Subjects that tend to prejudice the reputation and character of any person, provided that person may request a public discussion. Matters which by law, municipal charter, or ordinance are required to be confidential. Matters of confidential legal counsel or pending litigation. We are going into executive session to talk about a negotiation update. So with us will be the school board, superintendent, Katie Gardner, Luke Fulp, and Jean Stone.
I so move.
Okay, I'll second that.
All right, so seconded and moved. We are adjourning to executive session.